So in this interview, this was actually a Zoom interview that Caroline Castile did with me. She is an e-commerce seller as well as an agency owner. She has an agency called Clickable Impact, where they help you with Facebook ads, Instagram ads, social media. So she was interviewing me for her audience, which does not know as much about Amazon. They're not the typical sort of expert Amazon sellers that might listen to this podcast. So you'll hear this interview, and we kind of talk about, you know, the benefits of being on Amazon. We talk about some of the effects that, you know, COVID has had on e-commerce, Amazon, and the marketplace. She talks a little bit about what she's seeing from her side in terms of off Amazon strategies and kind of where the future of e-commerce is going. We end off talking a little bit about some mindset as well. So this episode is called Building Your E-Commerce Store Via Amazon in Today's Market. If you're a super expert on Amazon, you know, this may be basic for you, but hope that you listen and do get something out of it. I'm Liron Hirschkorn, your host of the E-Commerce Mindset Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Incrementum Digital, where we're helping Amazon sellers grow their sales and dominate their niches using the power of professional Amazon ads management and DSP. You can check us out, incrementumdigital.com, and you can email me also. My email is in the show notes. Enjoy this episode with Caroline Castile of Clickable Impact. And again, the format here is a little bit different because this was like a Zoom interview where she's mostly interviewing me. So a little bit of a different format. Enjoy this episode number 38 of the podcast.
So, guys, what's up? So I have a Amazon mogul here on the podcast. So I'm super excited to have Liron on. He's going to put our stuff up on his podcast too, but we've been talking for a little while. I follow your social all the time, Liron. So it's really cool to see all the updates on Amazon. We don't work, we do a lot of e-commerce, but we don't work a lot on the Amazon side. So it's going to be really interesting to hear all your feedback, especially through the pandemic, especially through all the craziness in the market, you know. And I've been looking at Amazon and them changing their prices on all kinds of stuff or blocking other people from listing certain products. So we're gonna get into all that, but let's just start with you and who you are, and you know, we'll do a little brief intro.
Sure. Yeah, so I started my journey in e-commerce in 2014. I actually ran an online insurance agency. That's my background is financial services, but you know, internet marketing was like always a hobby side gig, and like for the first time, I made it work, like making money. Right? I think a lot of us probably go back to days of, you know, the Warrior Forum or like, you know, affiliate marketing or just like trying to find ways to make money online until we kind of hit something that worked. And for me, internet marketing was always like a side hobby until I took what I knew professionally in my career, like doing, which was financial services, and married that with internet marketing together and built an insurance agency. And I did that from 2010 until 2015. In 2014, I saw an ad on Facebook for an e-commerce dropship course, and I took that. That led me to Amazon FBA, and actually, I started out doing arbitrage. So I started out going to, I'm in New York, I would go to the Nike clearance store in Queens, and I would, you know, spend $5,000 on buying Nike shoes at like $50. I would scan the barcode using an app on each one. It would show me the Amazon price, how many sellers, what the best seller rank was, all this data. And all that data allowed me to make decisions on whether or not to buy the products or not. And so would buy Nike shoes for like $50 to $70 and sell them for like $120 to $150 on Amazon. That's how I got started. And I started that as a side hustle 2014 until it became kind of like my main hustle 2015. And then I got into buying wholesale and building private label products and selling millions of dollars on Amazon. And along that journey, I started to network and go to high level masterminds and meet other successful people. And now I also run, now kind of the, my main focus today is, running an Amazon ads agency where we help sellers basically manage their ads, their advertising on Amazon and kind of leverage that to sell more products.
Hell yeah. And you made a lot of money doing it. So making a lot of money on Amazon. So don't be modest.
Yeah, no, I mean, Amazon's an amazing opportunity. I've sold millions of dollars worth of products there. And there's just, even today, you know, I consult with, you know, sellers and I consult with brands. And I just see the opportunity. We see, you know, I see brands that have just like very mediocre, you know, listing quality, right, without great images, without great content. And they're still selling, you know, I was looking at a consulting, a client came to me, he's working with this brand and they have like a auto shine product. And it's like a terrible listing, but they've been on Amazon since like 2012. So they have built up reviews and selling this one product at $65,000 a month. And like, if they only knew what they were doing, they would be selling that, they would be selling $200,000 a month. You know, right, if they really leveraged like all the different marketing levers that Amazon has, and sort of like what I focused on is understanding what all those levers are that you know, Amazon's its like own closed ecosystem beast of like understanding. And what I've been sort of studying for the last 5-6 years is what are all the things that I could leverage using Amazon to sell more product. Yeah. And there's a lot of exciting things happening this year that, you know, we can kind of get more into in terms of how to leverage what's available to you.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's a lot of what you said right there that I connected with, which are, you know, you selling shoes for over $120. So I own a dance shoe business. That was one of my first online things that I did. And how I started my digital marketing journey was we built our Instagram following from 0 to 10,000 followers in a few months with 5 unpaid interns.
Wow.
And before we even had product, we would go to Shutterstock and we would post every day with a different Shutterstock dance image with quotes. And then we started that, and then I wanted to hire an agency to take it over, keep growing the following. Couldn't find anybody. Lo and behold, there was a Ty Lopez course on starting your own social media marketing firm. So of course I took it, and then my now business partner Camila, who I started the business with, took it too. And then we were like, yo, he told me, yo, let's start an agency together. So that's kind of how like we started. And there we go. You know, Ty Lopez course, not so good for technical knowledge, but good for just brainstorming and like mindset and things like that, as all Ty Lopez courses are.
Yeah. And you know, I think a lot of times people sort of like put down some of those courses and somebody like a Ty Lopez and they say the material is very basic, etc. But like at the same time, you know, I can have probably a very high level expert course, and Ty Lopez still got a hell of a lot more people started marketing online than I did, right? So there's a certain value that, you know, that he brings in terms of like helping a lot of people get started. And maybe he was just the first impetus for them to start something and then
go
deep down the rabbit hole. So
it's like you saw that one post.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I saw one post, and it's funny because the guy that I bought that course from is called Dropship Lifestyle. Still runs that course today. He was just getting started like 2013, and now it's got like 10,000 members. And I mean, it was a legit course, and it basically showed you how to find brands that will dropship directly to the customer and create a Shopify store, drive Google ads, and sell stuff and make margin. And that's how I got started. And I think, you know, you sort of get hooked, you know, you have a little bit of early success when you're starting. A lot of people, you know, that I know also that got started on Amazon, it was definitely easier. 2014, 2015 kind of got hooked, because at that time you didn't need to have the same level of skill set that you have to have today in order to have success. Right. You could put up a product, you know, and didn't have to worry so much about competitors or advertising or like an amazing listing. You were just so early in the game that, you know, there was just more demand there than there was supply. That's obviously different today, but you know, I think, you know, like you mentioned talking about COVID, the acceleration of Amazon and the acceleration of e-commerce has now made that pie so much bigger for and everybody in the e-commerce game. There are people, I mean, you think about, I was thinking the other day, the people that are at most risk to go out of the house, the older population, are also the people that are the latest to have had to adopt e-commerce. And so, right, that particular segment of the population, you know, 60, 65, 70, 75, that never bought groceries on, you know, grocery flour on Amazon or food products or protein bars or any of those products online, now sort of are forced to change that behavior because they are also at the biggest risk of going to the store. And so there's been this massive shift and like a new normal of, you know, sort of a new baseline of sales. And I've seen charts of, I saw a chart recently of grocery food category sales on Amazon, and it's directly in line with COVID spikes. So, you know, March, there was a huge spike, and then May sales started to come down a little bit in the food category. And then now in the last, you know, a couple of weeks, as there've been more cases around the country, food sales are spiked up again. And you know, there are people that, like, I started using Costco and Instacart during the pandemic, and I used to go to Costco to buy food and stuff. And I'll probably never go again there to buy food unless I want to waste an extra $500 on stuff I don't need.
Right.
You know, when I go into a Costco, but you know, that's new behavior for me. I've also, we used to use Prime Now with Amazon for grocery shopping once in a while. Now that's like a regular weekly thing because we don't want to go out to the store. So there's this new level. So there's a new level of adoption of people in e-commerce, of people who hated Amazon in the past, never wanted to pay for a Prime membership, that are signing up. And then there's just new category shopping, right? Somebody who bought their, you know, supplements on Amazon, but never bought their food, or never bought clothing because they would want to go to the store and try it on. But now they're buying, you know, pajamas. Most of us are wearing these days, you know, online or on Amazon. Right. So like, there's just a tremendous, even though, you know, e-commerce has gotten more competitive. And I feel like Amazon's gotten harder in some ways. Also, you know, we've now sped up the adoption of it, you know, 5 or 10 years, whatever, a certain time frame out into the future has been kind of collapsed.
Definitely. No, I think you have a lot of good thoughts there. I actually was in the mall a few days ago, and probably 80% of the stores there were closed. So wow. Not only did we know there's more traffic on a macro sense, but like the pandemic just like was the nail on the coffin on that. I mean, like, you know, because like if I go to like a wedding, right, I'm going to go to Dillard's or whatever and go look myself. I'm kind of like old school like that. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
But now it's like, you know, they really can't go to the mall anymore because things,
yeah,
shit's crazy in Florida. Number one, and number two, just in general, you know, I can't get sick because I run a business, but on top of that, it is a little bit easier too. So, and being able to be in that mall and see that I was just going to the DMV. It wasn't because I needed to go shopping. It was to go to the DMV and just to see everything. All the small businesses were just closed. I would say 80, say maybe 70%. Uh-huh. All that traffic now has to go somewhere.
Yep.
You know, and, so I could see some of the huge infrastructure, you know, for Amazon coming in, some huge traffic on top of like other Shopify stores independently.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think about the sort of watching those Christmas movies, right, where like people are at the mall a day or two before Christmas, or just if you've gone out Christmas shopping, you know, on like the 22nd or 23rd, the mall's packed and it's people to people and the parking lot is full, like, that's not going to happen this year. Like, there's just no way, right? People are not going to expose themselves. A lot of the stores are closed. There's going to be, I'm sure, tremendous limitations on that. And so, yeah, where's all that buying behavior going? It's going online, and a good percentage of it is coming to Amazon. So, you know, now's a great time to get prepared for the fourth quarter. I think it's going to be, you know, the best fourth quarter e-commerce has ever seen. I think I saw a chart a couple months ago, total total retail sales were down like 16%, but online sales were up 8%, right? Like year over year. So, you know, it's an amazing time to be involved in online selling because it's just a tremendous shift that's happening right now.
Yeah. I mean, with everything at Clickable, there are a bunch of clients. We're working on Black Friday infrastructure now. Like it's going to be insane. We're not only because of the pandemic and there's a bunch of traffic that's going to happen, but just to start now. And that way we're not in a rush. Like when November, right. September comes in, a coupon code is wrong or whatever. We're just doing all this stuff now on top of, you know, we know the pandemic is making that traffic. We're just going to be able to acquire even more, maybe twice as much traffic than we were able to.
And you mentioned to me before you hit the record button and I guess the question, I'm going to put this on my podcast also, which is, you know, the majority of which are Amazon sellers, but for those that also sell sort of off Amazon, I mean, should people be structuring their messaging, their ads, like in a different way? And then also, is this like a particularly great period of time to run Facebook ads? Because like, have you seen it just be cheaper in general? I've heard or kind of seen some of those stories. Number one, I've seen certain segments like even boycott Facebook for political reasons. And then obviously the travel industry, the conference industry, like all these particular niches are not advertising right now. So there's just kind of more ad inventory. So like, how does that sort of play a role in what people are doing, you know, marketing their e-commerce sites?
Yeah, 100%. Sorry for the background noise, guys, with the kids. But so what we were talking about before was, you know, we did see a dip in some of our stores where we were using the same messaging, you know, stuff in Florida, California started shutting down, a bunch of other states started shutting down. And we saw, you know, there was a dip. Sometimes we didn't have any conversions at all when we're spending thousands of dollars a day. So we had to pivot our messaging significantly. For example, my dance footwear business, people aren't going in the studio, right? So we changed that to, instead of make your world your dance floor, we changed it to make your home your dance floor. Mm. So the conversion rate went back to between 1-5% on any given day. On top of, we pivoted that business to also sell classes online. So we're doing online live classes. 11 Skin, the skincare brand that we have, we're doing great. I mean, we've been selling, you know, that store has 5% conversion and up on any landing page. So taking care of your skin at home has been the messaging there. Our golf tee store still doing awesome. You know, it's doing above, you know, six figures a month. We haven't had to change as much as that. I mean, I guess people continue golfing and mm-hmm. that thing since we really started going hard, you know, 6-9 months ago, it's still been doubling, right? So there are some industries that you're going to see that don't really have a lot of changes in respect to the pandemic, or maybe there'll be positive changes. But all I can say is, you know, people who are in the hospitality industry, right? So dancers that were affected, there's a lot of dancers that are in the hotel industry, or, you know, just doing dance events, or maybe they work as a waitress or waiter or whatever, you know, their income's affected too. So you kind of have to just look at your business on a macro level too. But Facebook ads are still a really good thing to invest in right now. I'm seeing the same or better results and still just crazy results. Some accounts might not be doing well just because it's a micro factor having a business that has nothing to do with the pandemic. Right. But in a macro sense of every agency account that we're seeing, Facebook is still something awesome. I know there's some crazy stuff right now politically happening with boycotting. I haven't seen it affect any of our ads accounts yet. The only other big thing is brick and mortar type businesses have been affected, gyms and stores and all that. So any ads that we were pushing traffic to brick and mortar, we've had to pivot to having an awareness play, because the businesses, right, it's better to do something than nothing, right? So you have a business right now that's in brick and mortar and you're not sure what to do, number one, you need to pivot it to offer something virtually, right? Which is what our businesses that are brick and mortar, what they're working on right now. Mm-hmm. Two, you should still be doing awareness campaigns towards your current business because you're still priming those people to be ready, right? So if it's a gym, priming them for when it can open again. Build a community around the problem. What I always, the methodology I've taught, and I think, I can't remember who said this quote, but fall in love with the problem, not the solution, right? Because if you fall in love with the solution, that's a great way to fail as a business owner, right? So if you fall in love with the problem and you have a brick and mortar business, then what you can do is build a community online and then it'll come to the surface of what the new solution could be. So, you know, just like with my dance shoe business, maybe the solution wasn't shoes at the time because everything was shut down and people weren't used to dancing at home. Now they are. Now we turned the ads back on for the apparel and now we're still selling virtual classes. Right. So now we got like a double revenue stream coming in, which is kind of cool. But that would be my advice on that. Facebook ads are still something great to invest in. We're seeing for the businesses that want that scalability of doubling month over month, we're seeing that still. Even on the venture capital side, I'm talking to a few investors, they're being positive about it. You know, of course there are some investors that'll poo-poo on it and they're like, oh, I'm not sure, whatever. But a majority of people that I'm talking to are doubling down on the investments that they've made money on still, you know, and they know business has to continue no matter what. People are going to continue to buy. You just have to put your business, your logo, your brand in the right channel that's doing it. And it's places like Amazon. It's places like putting out Facebook, Google, blah, 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 so that you can make sure that you're getting that ROI.
They say the money doesn't disappear. It just moves, right? It moves from one place to another. People were spending money in a brick and mortar store, spending money at the gym. Now they're paying for virtual fitness classes, right? Or, you know, I had a gym membership and then I had a Peloton, but it was sitting in my, until January, actually, it was sitting in my basement with a subscription expired, moved it up to my bedroom. Opened up my subscription and that's been my gym, right? So like I'm still spending money on fitness. It just moved from one brick and mortar company to a company that, you know, is doing it really well virtually. And yeah, I think you need to think about your business on like what problem am I solving and how can I get to that end customer. And it seems like, you know, I think this pandemic will, in some cases, it'll make some people millionaires, right? As a result of how they pivoted. The person who had a karate studio, you know, who pivoted to virtual classes can now have a lot more students in their business. And that could be the best thing that ever happened to them, as opposed to just running, you know, or a dance class, right? As opposed to just running a product business or a single location like brick and mortar business.
Yeah, 100%. So while you're talking, there's a couple of things coming up in my mind with Amazon too. So what have you seen that's changed the Amazon pandemic? And for people listening in the audience who may have not tried Amazon right now, is now a good time to try it? When is a good time to try it? If you have X amount of revenue in your Shopify store or WooCommerce store or whatever, right? Yep. When's a good time to get in and how do you know it's a good time? What are the things that you're seeing on Amazon?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing is that the best time to get in on Amazon was 15 years ago. The second best time is now, right? Like we are, you know, Amazon is still a relatively small percentage of all of retail. That's obviously rapidly and I think accelerating now, but that is rapidly changing and growing. The pie is getting bigger. I think the question of whether or not Amazon makes sense for you depends more so on your product, your brand. And I think the short answer is yes, it makes sense for you to have a presence there. The question is how much should you double down on it? Kind of depends. So number one, I think it makes sense for you to have a presence there. There are tools, there are software tools. You can probably even go into the auto suggest, like just start typing in your brand name in the search bar. And if you see other words behind it, there are people that are looking for your brand, right? Because that auto suggests is based on search history. There are people looking for your brand on Amazon. I'm working with a company that sells a tattoo bomb product, and they've done this year. They launched last year, two college kids, and they're
tattoo
doing
tattoo bomb. What does that mean?
BALM. So
bomb. Okay. Bomb.
You put not a bomb. But you put it on your tattoos, and it makes them like shine brighter and makes them look new. Okay. They launched this product. Mad Rabbit Tattoo is actually the brand. And they launched this product, Shopify, done over like $1 million a year. And now they're like, okay, should we try Amazon? And I go and I looked, and there's over 10,000 searches a month related to their brand name happening on Amazon. And you know what a competitor did is it created almost identical packaging to theirs and essentially taking all their sales on Amazon, right? Because those people, a part of them are maybe going to go on Shopify and buy. Others are just going to find a different solution and buy, right? So they're leaving money off the table by not even having a presence there. So number one, if you have some kind of brand, you have a little bit of traction off Amazon, chances are people are trying to find you on Amazon. Now, if you're a particularly high price premium product, then you know you're going to have a tough time competing on what I call flagship category keywords. Somebody that's searching for tattoo bomb may not buy this particular product if they're selling at $35 and everyone else is at $10. But when people are searching the brand name, they are going to buy because they're looking for that brand. Now, if your pricing is kind of in line with where you can compete, then I think it makes a tremendous amount of sense to be on Amazon. One of the things that is very useful to understand on Amazon is understanding how to look at the data. So if you have a catalog of 20 different SKUs or 30 different products or more products, it would make sense for you to be able to understand bestseller rank, understand keyword search volume on keywords, understand the different software tools that exist to help you identify what that is on Amazon and say, okay, out of my 30 products, what are the top five that I should probably start with and focus on Amazon to begin with and understand that data and look at it. But yeah, I mean, there's tremendous opportunities if you know how to create great listings, content, understand the keyword research, and then also behind that, leverage Amazon advertising. And if you're running Facebook ads, I've seen this across our clients. When they turn on Facebook ads, even to their website, they'll see like a 20% lift on their Amazon just because somebody sees a Facebook ad, right? And then they go search for that brand or product to see if it's on Amazon because one, they want to read the reviews, right? And they know that reviews on a site might not be as authentic as maybe reviews on Amazon. So they want to read the reviews, they want to see the brand, they want to read more about it, and then they may end up just checking out there. So our clients see a lift when they run Facebook ads. So it makes sense to be there. I think you want to understand the tools, understand which products to go after, and then how to leverage advertising on Amazon. Amazon over the last, Amazon advertising as a revenue channel within Amazon's business is their fastest growing arm of where they're driving revenue for the company. When I started in 2014, page one maybe had 4 ads. Now page one has like at least 10 ads on it, right? So that means if you're not advertising, then other people are targeting your brand name, which is something that's like allowed on the platform. So you can do a search for Nike, and I looked at it last week, Puma has an ad right on top, right? Nike is not advertising there. Puma is right there. If you search Bulletproof Coffee, you see a brand that is doing an amazing job of being very defensive on their brand. The top ad is Bulletproof. The top 4 spots are Bulletproof products. You click into one of their listings, all the ads on their page are other Bulletproof Coffee products. They're being very defensive, kind of aggressive around their brand name. So if you know how to leverage the ad side, there's a lot of new things this year, like video ads, which have performed really, really well. So there's a lot of ad types. There's Amazon DSP, which you could do off Amazon targeting. You could even put a pixel on your website and target people who didn't buy on your website with an ad, sending them to Amazon. So if you know how to leverage that or hire the right people to help you kind of leverage that, I think being on Amazon makes a lot of sense. And, I think if you get sales across multiple channels, your Shopify, Amazon, and your business will be more valuable. And I think you can also leverage the Amazon customer to build your own, to build your list, to build your Shopify sales. So when you're selling, when you're selling those dance shoes on Amazon, there's a little insert that says, hey, save 10% on your next order with us. And they have to go to your website and put their email in to get that coupon code. Or, if you have a high price product, it's go double your warranty for this product by going to this link, and you're building, you can actually leverage the Amazon customer to build your own email list. You want to be careful as to how you do it, because of some Amazon sort of guidelines, but there are legitimate ways you could do it and sort of grow your overall audience. And then I think if you already have the other parts dialed in, the Shopify, you know, the website or the WooCommerce or Shopify, the community, you can leverage that to bring those Amazon customers into your community and make them like loyal customers. So, you know, my answer would generally be yes, with the caveat that, you know, kind of depends on also the right product for the platform. Like Rolex doesn't sell a lot of watches on Amazon, right? It's just, it's not, right. The right, it's not the right platform. You wouldn't be going to Amazon to buy a Rolex probably.
But why is that? Why is that?
Because
why is Rolex not on there?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, and that's something that Amazon wants to change. And Amazon has done some like sort of exclusive pages and stuff with like Louis Vuitton and some big things. But I think
I didn't know that. That's crazy. I think
up until very recently, those big sort of designer premium brands like poo-pooed on Amazon. Like, you know, that's not a premium luxury marketplace, right? So we don't want to be there. But the more, you know, the Nordstroms of the world and Bloomingdale's of the world start closing stores and they don't have that, those distribution channels, they're going to have to kind of come back and say, all right, Amazon, like we're willing to play. But I think they've sort of, you know, avoided it. And there's, you know, some, there's counterfeit issues and there, like there's issues, right? Like Amazon has its own set of issues also, but you know, generally it's also very, aside from just those luxury brand standpoint, it's just a very, it's a marketplace. It's price driven. If you have a product and there's somebody identical next to you, like the customers are going to look at, you know, your image, your reviews, your price, right? Like, so if you, you know, we have a customer that we have a client we run their ads for and they sell beauty products, but some of their products are more expensive and some of them just don't work on Amazon, but on their website, they sell a tremendous amount because they have that loyal following. But when somebody searches for a vitamin C serum and they're selling theirs for 35 and you could buy it for 10, they're not going to get the sale unless somebody is searching for their brand name. So, you know, the products kind of have to work also for the marketplace. And if you can leverage Amazon to get future sales from the same customers to build your email list, then you can see it as not just the amount of profit I make per sale. It's like, what assets am I building in my business off the back of, you know, sort of what Amazon has built? You know, and I think that's the advantage or what you could do by being on there.
Yeah, definitely. I think those are some good like golden nuggets there. Number one, I think that's the same thing with Shopify. You need good content. So things are not going to convert on your page if your store or your listing on Amazon doesn't have really good content that's trustworthy. So that's right. One really good one. And then you said advertising on the back end is really important too. So can you talk a little bit about that and how do you scale your advertising? Like with Facebook, it's very scalable. Somebody can spend 10, 20, 30, 50 grand a month in that consecutive order month over month and still scale, right? There are diminishing returns, but that's up to email marketing and text message marketing to fix those diminishing returns on like an e-commerce store, right? Tell us how does that work on Amazon when you're looking to scale your listing?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, with Amazon, there's a number of places people find, there's a number of ways people can discover your products. So, and that's why, you know, it goes back to like understanding the keywords and the search volume around those keywords, right? So if you're selling a very niche product, you're going to have limitations as to how many people you could show that product to, because Amazon is a, you know, keyword driven marketplace, right? So let's take an example of a product. If I'm selling dance shoes, then I want to target all the keywords around that product with my advertising. So, you know, with Amazon, you can, similar to like Google, you could do broad phrase exact match targeting. So I'm going to target all the keywords around dance shoes and dance shoes for girls and, you know, dance shoes for adults and right, all the keywords that people are searching for, I'm going to target. And along with those campaigns, I'm also going to do what's called keyword harvesting. So when I put up a broad match dance shoes keywords, Amazon's going to show me that my ad showed up because it's a broad match keyword. My ad showed up when somebody searched for dance shoes for 3-year-old girl. And then when I see that search term converting, I take that and I start targeting that more specifically, and I can get a better, I can get more targeted when I have the exact keywords people are looking for. So number one, it's going to be keyword research driven. And yes, your limit is tied to the keywords that you can get impressions for and that are relevant. Amazon won't show you, you know, if I have dance shoes, but you know, the word, you know, dog bowl gets a lot of searches, I can't just show my ad on that page because Amazon's going to filter it out based on relevancy, and they know that my listing doesn't have those words in it. And so I'm limited to basically the keywords that can show up. That being the case for dance shoes, there's probably, you know, 100, 200,000 searches a month. There's probably a lot of potential traffic you can get, and you can use certain levers within the advertising. Like you could tell Amazon, the keyword dance shoes does so well for me, I want to show up at the top of the search results for this keyword no matter what. And I give you permission to increase my bid by 900% if you think I'll convert, right? There's some levers you could push there. So that's number one. So that's one method. And then on top of that, you can layer video ads for those same keywords. So you can show up on page one. If you look at mobile and desktop, you'll see video is in the middle of the page. A lot of people haven't implemented those. You can get that additional traffic. And then you can go further by implementing ads on other people's pages. So you are the number one bestseller of dance shoes, and you get, 20,000 visitors a month to your listing. I could put an ad right on your page. I can put this sponsored display ad right underneath your bullet points, underneath the buy box. I can place a bunch of ads on other people's pages too, and sort of siphon off the traffic. And actually, that's where the majority of people get their clicks and traffic, not necessarily off keywords, because there's a lot more inventory available on people's, there's like 10 ads on somebody's page, and people are browsing. So they search a keyword and then they'll browse 7 or 8 different listings before they make a buying decision. So there's just a lot of ads you can cover there. And then you can place these what's called sponsored brand headline ads right at the top, like banner style ads. So you can just leverage, but you know, you may not. And the thing is also that if you want to scale, like you said, with Facebook, as far as diminishing returns, you may not be able to take a 20,000 spend a month on a product and get the same return the following month spending 50,000, because in order to get that additional impressions, you need to bid higher to get a better position. And if your conversion rate is the same at that higher bid in that location, then you're going to get, you know, you're not going to get as good as a return on your spend by, like, there isn't as much infinite scale, sort of as you can have with targeting a lot of new audiences for the product. But that being the case, your ads on Amazon are going to convert. I mean, Amazon pages are known to convert between 10 and 50%. It's very common that, you know, our clients have conversions of 25, 30% on their listing. So it's people who are already looking for what you're offering. It's a matter of, do you have the reviews and social proof? Do you have, you know, a good offer, a good price, all the elements that, you know, you kind of need. So you're not going to, you probably can reach a lot more people with Facebook ads, depending on, you know, keywords, but your conversion rates are much higher when people are on Facebook. You're disrupting them, right? And on Amazon, there's only one reason somebody's searching for something on Amazon. It's to buy something. And so it's like you said, it's a very warm audience. And then if you want to scale further, there are things. So Amazon DSP, demand side platform, is a platform where you can go sort of more top of funnel. You could do top, mid, you could do retargeting, but you can target people that are interested in supplements. You can target people that are interested in certain segments and bring them back to your listing. Again, it's not going to have as good as a return, but if you are maxed out or, you know, capping what you could do on Amazon, then you want to start thinking about retargeting off Amazon and also targeting people that have seen your competitor's listing, cross-selling people that have bought products from you before with other products, and sort of using that platform to go off Amazon. I think that's also going to get a lot more exciting. DSP, you can target what's called OTT, like on over the top of like Kindle devices and Now Amazon just launched Amazon Audio Ads for, like, you know, on Alexa. So there's a lot more sort of that kind of audience targeting that's, I think, coming to Amazon.
Woo! Damn.
Lots of stuff. Yeah, I know. A lot of
Speedy Gonzalez, like, going through that. Woo, take a water break. Woo.
I know. But, you know.
You're like, lips are on fire right now, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, yeah, there's tremendous potential. You know, to leverage the channel. Not to say also that Amazon doesn't come with its own set of headaches. I don't want to make it sound super easy. You know, yesterday they sent out an email that said, like, hey, we're kind of limiting how much stock you could send to FBA for the holiday season because they know they're going to get slammed and people have to kind of have third-party warehouses. And, you know, sometimes you'll get one customer complaint on a product. And I have a product right now that was pulled down because a customer complained it was used, sold as new. Like, everything we send in is new. And it's one complaint. And now I have to write an appeal to get it back. So Amazon definitely has its own set of challenges along with it.
That's really interesting because that Amazon's limiting the amount of product you fulfill. So we actually started a fulfillment department at Clickable. So we have 7 team members right now that also fulfill for some of our e-com clients too. So very interesting stuff.
Yeah. And I would say that if you're only relying on Amazon FBA and you don't have sort of like a backup plan with the place that can fulfill, I mean, a lot of people sort of learned this lesson at the beginning of the pandemic because Amazon was not, you couldn't ship in, they were prioritizing essential products. You couldn't ship in products. They were shipping non-essential products like a month late. And if you had a third party warehouse or your own and you can turn on merchant fulfilled, you can deliver, you know, products to customers within a week or less where Amazon wasn't. And so it's kind of becoming more necessary, where you can't rely only, or, you know, so a lot of sellers would like make products in China and ship them direct into Amazon's warehouse and the fees were so low, but now it's getting to, you know, more limitations. If you're launching a new product now, you can only send in 200 units. You can't take your 1,000-2,000 unit order from China and ship it direct into Amazon. So definitely on the logistics side, you need to have some things in place. So clickable impact. You can talk to them.
0 to 100 real quick. Yeah. Well, it's been interesting because a lot of people that talk to us about e-com, they're like, "Ooh, you have a fulfillment team. That's interesting." Mm-hmm. So it's been a different conversation of topic because it's agency plus fulfillment. So it's kind of cool.
I'm assuming that's something you offer just your clients. It's not like a fulfillment service.
So, well, actually we do offer outside of clients. There is a benefit to be a client too. So our minimum, super low minimum is 50 units a day. So in order to just get fulfillment, if you get the service with Clickable Impact, then we waive that 50 units a day minimum. Yeah. So
nice.
It's been pretty cool. It's been pretty cool to sell both those things to clients and be able to experience that. So yeah, I mean, it could be interesting for any agency to do because then you get, you know, business development from fulfillment and then you get business development from the agency and they both feed each other.
Right.
You know? Yes. We've just had it because some of our portfolio companies needed fulfillment. We started building a fulfillment team. Now we have 7 full-time people. And so it's just like, okay, I guess we can offer it to our clients too because now, you know, it's all about a game of square footage. We still have square footage. We still have capacity of people who are ready to go. Right. And we have clients that kind of need that and they need some orders to go out quickly, you know? So it kind of makes sense to do that. Cause we kind of know like, hey, what do they need for their marketing? And it gives us a little extra edge, you know?
Right. And I'm going to put this on my podcast. Your website is clickableimpact.com.
.com. Yes.
Cool. Yes. Okay. And essentially your marketing agency. So content, Facebook ads, whatever off.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Google, Instagram, like all the off kind of non-Amazon stuff.
Non-Amazon. Yeah.
And social media, like social media marketing.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. So, you know, we have 2 different, specialties, which is, you know, e-commerce, which is our bigger one. Lead gen is the second department. So it could be for B2C type things like roofers, real estate, septic, HVAC, plumbing. E-commerce is more specialty stores, I would say. The more unique product, the better. I'm sure that's somewhat true on Amazon too. We work with different tech companies. We work with different products who have patents, products that don't have patents either. They just have some kind of uniqueness, right?
Right.
So to a certain point from the time that you have $10,000 in sales and up, we call that product market fit, because we know that it's not just your grandma or your aunt or
right.
whoever is just buying the product.
Right.
It's real people. And now we know we have something that can scale. That doesn't mean that we might take a different project, like, you know, the Flight Path Golf. They had $7,000 in sales. Didn't meet the $10,000 requirement, but there's enough there to say, okay.
That's like a monthly or some, like on a monthly basis, essentially?
Yeah. So $10,000 a month, preferably. I'll still look at the project if it has $10,000 gross, you know?
Right.
But that's when you can start scaling it. So the type of things that get us excited are just, okay, you're making 10, 20,000 a month. Maybe you made 10,000 in gross. Let's get it to 100,000. How can we get it to $100,000 a month the quickest possible? So like for Flight Path right now, we're doing 120,000 a month. Now, you know, we're about to raise $1 million round on a $5 million valuation. And our next milestone is $1 million a month to get to, right? So we'll need more than $1 million. We'll probably end up raising another round, but just because we're scaling so fast doesn't mean we need the capital. But if you're scaling that fast, like we've been just doubling month over month, you kind of just want to have that so that you're not, you know, in the middle of either bankrupting the company or being super profitable. You know, you want to just always have that cash. That's why things like WeWork and Uber and stuff, they get funding because they're just growing so fast.
Right.
And I do want to be profitable, though. I don't want to be like Uber in that sense, but...
Or WeWork.
Exactly. I know. Yeah. Bad examples, I guess. But anyways, there's a lot of companies with my previous business, Nexus, Florida Angel Nexus, that we raised money for. 67 companies, $20 million we raised. And it was one of the biggest groups in the state of Florida. We sold it a couple of years ago. And so now I'm kind of bringing that back by helping, you know, these e-commerce projects get some capital in if they need it. There may be some other projects, like we even have some mask PPE type businesses that are doing really well right now. We don't know how long that's going to be. We're going to ride that thing out as long as possible. Yep. And chances are it's going to be a while. I was just looking on Netflix. There's like, I can't remember what it's called, but there's like a pandemic show or documentary. And they're talking about how vaccines take at least 4 years, that we have some that are fast track right now for this pandemic for 2 years. But, you know, who knows if the clinical trials are going to go through. So the point of that is, you know, PPE products are here to stay. And it's just a land grab market share right now, you know, but if you can get that 10, 20, 30K revenue monthly recurring, then chances are that you have enough customer data for a professional team to take it over and really scale it. So you can focus on the next steps, right?
Right. Yes. So, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I know a brand on Amazon, they're selling 3 million a month in hand sanitizer.
I just had to show this cuteness right now.
Yes.
This is Claire Bear. She was doing this in my computer. So I was like, why don't you come over here and be on the show, Claire?
Yeah. She's a star. Well, she's well behaved, it looks like.
She's like playing with my AirPods case.
Nice.
For those of you that are listening, you're gonna have to look on the YouTube channel to see Claire Bear.
is that your YouTube Clickable Impact YouTube channel?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Have you been doing any PPE products or got any thoughts on that?
We manage ads on some PPE products. I have a friend that has been selling I don't know, 3 million last month on Amazon in PPE products. And we're also running some ads for a seller that's doing like hand sanitizer and 3-ply masks and face shields. And they just put them up on Amazon and they got sales like right off the bat, like no ads.
Right off the bat.
Nothing. Right off the bat, they got sales. Yeah, you have to, Amazon requires documentation and approval and you have to go through a process. You can't, if you haven't, and some of these products, there's a price, like hand sanitizer pricing has come down, you know, so you have to buy really smart and know what you're doing. I wouldn't just jump into it if you don't know what you're doing in that game, because I think you can get burned also. But I think there's, yeah, I mean, if you know what you're doing there, there's tremendous amount of sales. Like some of the most searched keywords on Amazon right now are all related to PPE, face mask, and all related to PPE. And if you have Amazon and brand registry, you have something called brand analytics, and Amazon shows you, you know, sort of like all the top most searched keywords on the platform, and those are it. So yeah, we're running ads for clients on it, and you know, yeah, it's very, very, very popular right now, but it also starting to get competitive. And you know, I don't know if it's too late or not to jump in. Hard to say, but those that jumped in early certainly have, I think, done very, very, very well with it. And we're willing to take on risks as the market pricing, things are changing like, you know, every day. And you know, I know I was helping a seller do this and they ordered product from China and then the US took off, you know, those KN95 off the list of approved products you could import. And like, you kind of need to know what you're doing if you're playing in that game, especially on a product like a KN95 versus, you know, some other related products. But then, you know, then I think there's tremendous opportunity all around like accessory products. I'm in a, like in my local Facebook group, this girl, she made a whole bunch of what, I don't know what you call them, like mask ties, where it's these things that like will hold your mask. So you can just took, you know, if you want to eat or whatever. And she's, yeah, you know, she just made them at home and selling them, you know.
Interesting.
And there's a lot of that on Etsy. Those kind of products that are like, you know, if you can come out with accessory related products that are, yeah, not PPE directly, that have, you know, a market also.
I've had a couple of people come to me with like little accessory things to either make the mask more comfortable or whatever, little things like you were saying to, yeah, to go about your day. So,
yeah,
so that's really smart, Liron. Like for those of you who want to really get into PPE, PPE complementary products might, yes, be really interesting to get into right now.
Yeah,
because I'm with you, Liron, 100%. The market, yeah, is hard to get into right now.
Yes. Yeah, it's hard and risky, I think, but you know, it depends on your appetite. There's plenty of people that are doing it. But yeah, I think those accessory type products that are not considered medical and you don't have to jump through hoops to be able to run ads for them. Like, you know, I know on Facebook, you can't run ads on a lot of PPE products, or Amazon also, there's some restrictions. So, but the accessory products, there are no issues with, and they're, you know, it could be just as much, you know, could be still enough demand without as much competition. On
right. Right. So when somebody starts with you in the agency, what are you looking for in somebody ideal to work with? You know, when they start with you, what does their store look like, or in revenue wise, or anything? Yeah, go ahead.
Typically, I mean, we'll so we have a minimum fee, and typically it kind of doesn't make sense to work with us unless you're spending at least, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 a month in ads on Amazon. Let's say $5,000. Kind of starts to make more sense. So you probably already have, you know, a product or two up on Amazon, or you plan to launch a bunch of, you know, products and scale. You know, ideally you already have a listing up. It's well optimized. We can direct you to how you can do that. We don't do it directly, but we can direct you to services that can help you do that. And you know, then we start basically running and managing your ads. A lot of our clients are people who spend anywhere between 10 and 30,000 a month on Amazon. They sell, let's say, $1 million a year, and they spend about, you know, 100 to 150,000 a year on advertising. And then we have, you know, we have clients that spend over six figures a month too. And then we have clients that are on the lower end. I find that e-commerce is growing so much that we've taken on some people that start smaller because we know we can help them grow and grow with them. And like my best clients have been the ones that, you know, the client that spent with me this past month, $130,000 on ads, last year was spending $5,000 a month on ads, right? And sort of grew and, you know, took advantage of the opportunity. We helped them grow also. So, you know, if you have a few products on Amazon or if you're putting your products on Amazon, then we can help you. And we can also help you implement, we can get you into certain beta programs like video ads that were not available to sellers for a long time. We were able to get our clients into the beta program to be able to run it. And it's a massive advantage when you can run ads, other people can't, because the cost per click is a lot lower when other people are not competing for those bids. So you can have, you know, there's sometimes we get those opportunities. DSP is something we can run. You could do it directly with Amazon. It's a $35,000 commitment. We have a seat as an agency, and our minimum is $5,000 a month to manage DSP. And we do that as a additional service for like our regular, you know, Amazon advertising clients. But I would say if you have some products, if you're already getting some sales or you really want to grow Amazon and you want to do it right, with the advertising, it's certainly gotten more complex and there's a lot of new ad types, and, you know, leveraging all of them really just requires you to dig deep and learn and spend the time to do it, or hire somebody in house, or leverage, you know, an agency, you know, to be able to do it.
Yeah. Same thing that I say too. You either got to do yourself, hire somebody in house or an agency. And it's just to find the people to do what we do and to do what Liron does, it's like very hard to find one freelancer that can do it all with like eight arms. I have yet to find that freelancer.
Yeah. And the problem is as a brand is, you know, to do it in house, you might need to hire somebody, you know, that you pay 45 to 70,000 a year, right? Depending on where you are around the country and whatever. And, you know, you just may not have that. You're not going to get your return on investment on that spend if, you know, that person may not have enough work to do. And you have to bring them up to speed, right? Unless they're already an expert and you know, using an agency or sort of leveraging that person that is full-time, but, you know, doesn't need to be spending full-time, you know, 40 hours a week managing ads for your account. And you're kind of leveraging that. It's also our job to stay on top of, you know, the latest ad types and the things that are happening and really be highly accountable. My agency, we have monthly contracts. We give clients a discount when they commit to a year, but otherwise we're month to month. So we basically need to, you know, earn our keep every single month.
Yeah.
You know, to deliver results. So that's our sole job, is to make sure we're driving traffic to your listings.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool. What's your like favorite memory of having your agency? What's like your, I don't know, happiest memory, favorite memory?
You know, I guess my, you know, when I started this, I was starting to, I guess really the beginning when I started this, I was at a point where I was managing, you know, every single client myself. And
yikes.
I had over 20 ad clients, and I was managing
all of them. Doing it yourself?
Doing it all myself. And, you know, I was putting in like 80, 90, 100 hours a week. And I also didn't feel at that point that I could give every client my all. And I actually posted on my Facebook and asked for some help, some people who kind of knew Amazon and would help me. And the first person that stepped up to help me, you know, started out at not big pay or anything else, you know, like maybe a couple of years ago. And, you know, now we've built up a team, and now he's a partner in the company. And now we, you know, we're a lot more, you know, professional, but it was really kind of shifting from doing all the work myself to like building kind of like a more real professional agency. And you know, the team that we have is amazing. And you know, I think our biggest goal is just like to be to be the equivalent of that person's employee in their company, like an extension of their company, as if it was our own, you know, our own
effort.
You know, I have a lot of really good relationships with our clients, and it's really nice to see. Like, I had a client yesterday send me an email, and he's like, you know, you just proved to me, because he moved from another company agency to us, and like, he wasn't sure, it didn't really work out well with them. And he's like, you just proved to me that I knew that they weren't doing as good a job, because like in 4 weeks, like the results have just been massively different. And right. When I get those emails from people, like that's kind of like the best part of the job.
Yeah. Makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside, like a hot pocket.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he's probably listening to this, so he knows who he is.
Right. No, it is a great feeling to get like those compliments. Your team, like one of my clients wrote, your team is amazeballs, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And just different things that, you know, just those compliments do mean the world. Just if you guys have an agency out there that you're doing work with, you know, if they're doing a good job, make sure you let them know, because we work fucking hard. It is not easy to do what we do and make it have an ROI off of it. So, yes. And the way that I position it is, and I let our business development team position is, this is not agency versus your business. This is a business partnership. You know, right. We're business partners now. If you guys don't win, we don't win. If you lose, right. We lose. If we win, you win too, you know? Right. So, and then that brings it to a different light too, when we have conversations, when things don't work or when things work really well, and how do we position the company next for success? What are the real goals now that we've been able to hit these next milestones? Or for all of our recurring clients, we do an annual meeting, you know, in December, of this is everything that happened the last 12 months. What do we want to happen the next 12 months in revenue goals, in anything else qualitative in the business that you want to have happen, whatever else, you know, and put plans towards that, SMART goals. That's how we do it.
Yes. Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, it's a great feeling. Like, I mean, I get, you know, I've gotten a lot of joy out of selling myself, but like, just, yeah, seeing like the impact you're making in other people's businesses. And then also like, you know, the fact that, you know, my business supports, you know, supports the living of, you know, the people that are working in the business, you know, like all that, is kind of like the best parts of, you know, having a service business that allows you to help other businesses. And I'm a strong believer that, you know, entrepreneurs are the ones that, you know, change the world, you know, politicians are out there.
We do, baby. You know, we do.
Doing a lot of talking, and, you know, entrepreneurs kind of make things happen, you know. And you know, even now, like, I heard of a guy yesterday that pivoted from he had a bouncy house business, mm-hmm. to now he's got a massive business going into businesses and disinfecting, and it's good for like 3 months or something, and like totally pivoted, right? And like, that's like, you know,
new business,
pretty incredible, you know, things of how entrepreneurs can really pivot and confront challenges and solve problems. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, I love it. Highest highs, lowest lows. That's how it always happens. Yes. You know, and part of us being leaders of our agency, you know, we got to coach the team too through those highest highs, lowest lows. Everybody always loves doing the projects that are doing well.
Right.
So I love kind of closing out the podcast with, what's your favorite motivational quote? Like, speaking of highest highs, lowest lows, what gets you through those low lows? What gets you through those high highs? What's your favorite quote?
So I'll give two quotes. I've been kind of like a fanboy. I got to run with him this year, spend time and be in his courses, of Jesse Itzler. May know his wife, Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx. Mm-hmm. And he's got some really good principles. So I wouldn't say so much quotes, but two of those quotes are, number one is, be where your feet are. So kind of like, you know, being focused on the task at hand in the present, and not living in the past, worrying about regrets, or just focusing on past wins. And like, you're always living on your past, like accolades, like looking at the front, window of the bus moving forward, not a, like what I achieved or accomplished last year. Like that's over with. Same with like regrets. And then also not living in the future, especially now there's so much uncertainty, like you can't control all that stuff. So really being present and focused. And then the other concept that he has is he says, remember tomorrow, which is basically, you know, the decisions you make, just think about the decisions you make today, how they're going to affect you tomorrow. Right. And then whether that's the decisions you're making in your business, are you taking a short-term shortcut that you're going to regret later on, or, you know, going to the fridge at midnight, right? And thinking like, maybe tomorrow I might regret that decision, you know, if I go there. So it's kind of some very simple principles that I try to keep on my mind.
I love that, man. That's awesome. Well, cool. That was really cool. Any other thoughts you got?
No, I will mention, if you want to get a hold of me or my agency, the agency is incrementumdigital.com. And then you can find me on, I also have a podcast called E-Commerce Mindset Podcast. But you can find me on social media. And for you, for those listening to the E-Commerce Mindset Podcast, clickableimpact.com, Carolyn Castile. You can find you. Is there a particular social media platform or?
I do. I post a lot on Instagram and LinkedIn. So if you guys want to find me on, just search my name, Caroline Castile. Likewise, I follow Liron and he has some awesome content all the time. He's posting all kinds of Amazon updates all the time. So if you guys want to learn about how to scale your Amazon store, you definitely need to be following him and get the latest updates too, because anything tech can change your business in 30 seconds overnight or whatever, right? So we always got to be following those updates.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. It was a lot of fun talking to you.
Yeah, hell yeah.
If you haven't given us a review yet on Apple Podcasts, please do. Even if you don't like the show, I would like to hear your feedback and see how we can improve. If you haven't joined the Facebook group, E-Commerce Mindset, the link is in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of the E-Commerce Mindset Show.